Hey, it's Tony Bruschi, and this is our Week in Review. Over the weekend, taking a look back at some of the most compelling conversations and stories that we've covered for you of the last week. Brand new episodes back Monday morning, bright and early, 5 a.m. here on the podcast.
This is the examination of the hidden human condition.
You're listening to the Hidden Killers Podcast.
This is the Hidden Killers Podcast with Tony Bruschi.
Robin Drake, retired FBI Special Agent, Chief of the Counterintelligence Behavioral Analysis Program. Chatting more. Our conversation picking back up on Rex Huerman. What do you take out of his reaction upon his arrest saying, is it in the news? What might that say about his need for recognition or infamy? Or is he just curious if, is it in the news? Does my family know about this by now?
Probably all those things. But at the forefront, that is exactly what someone with psychopathy says. It's all about grandiosity and how big a name am I? And that's how they exist. That's it. If they're going to keep it hidden until it's not hidden, then if it's once it's uncovered, they want to be the best at it of all times.
I'm curious to get your thoughts on Dennis Rader, BTK, speaking out about this. It seems Dennis likes to hear his voice. He always has. Yep. Even when no one knew who Dennis was, when he was just simply the BTK killer and he was free committing his crimes. It almost feels like Dennis thinks he's become a voice in this circle of true crime commentary. And he has, quite honestly, because people have given him a microphone and allowed him to do that. Is that a good thing, or is this something where we shouldn't be giving Dennis Rader a microphone to express his opinion? And one way I find it fascinating, almost in the Mindhunter sort of way, of looking at this and going, oh, we can garner some insight from someone who knows what they did. They're very okay with it, or they've accepted it. They're not arguing, and maybe we can learn some things. Or should someone like Dennis really just be hiding away in his cave and we can't hear his rants?
Isn't that another Kobayashi Maru scenario? Yeah. There's no scenario on this one. So going back to the Silence of the Lambs scenarios that we're talking about, as a frame of reference, in order to inspire someone like that to talk and divulge information that could be very useful to law enforcement, you're going to have to dangle a carrot. And the only carrot you can really dangle is that notoriety and the look at me moments, which gives them great pleasure and joy, which you don't want to give someone who has to, that should be paying for their heinous atrocities with their mortal souls, really. So it's, in my estimation, though, it comes down to the reason we do these things is to serve the families, to serve the victims the best we can by finding all we can, uncovering all we can to bring peace as much as we can to those that have been victimized. So it's a balance, isn't it? So I would use it as the carrot when talking to Dennis, but minimize as much as you can their impact. It also could be, I was asked this the other day too, and I agree. Could this be used with the current subject to maybe elicit a confession, have him share what he actually, the full extent of what he did if convicted? And yeah, absolutely. Because if you can put the two of them against each other with a one-upsmanship, you could probably get a lot of information that could bring some solutions.
That's a very interesting way of looking at it. Have them one up. Oh yeah, you did this. I did that. Wait a second. This one isn't on the record. Really?
We've actually used that. Again, on the espionage side,
yeah.
People that commit espionage and betray their countries generally edge up very high on psychopathy like this.
Okay.
And when we had arrested this one guy and we needed to find where he hid millions of dollars before the money was confiscated because it was in a lock in one of those storage units that it was going to be in like Storage Wars or something and we're going to lose. It's really crazy. We're talking millions of dollars, right?
Yeah.
And also him uncovering at the same time all the children he had victimized because he just wasn't committing espionage. That's just one side of lives that go sideways. He had done a lot of horrible things.
Yeah.
But when we searched his apartment, which if you ever go into a home of someone who's truly high in psychopathy, there's literally nothing there because it's an empty shell. But he had a VCR and one movie, and it was Catch Me If You Can. And so we actually used that movie as, hey, you said you're all that, but this guy is so much better than you. And so we actually used the one-upsmanship to try to inspire him to say, oh, no, I'm much better than he was. I stole much more money than he ever did. And it worked.
How interesting. And that, I mean, it seems like such, it's almost like playing on childhood one-upsmanship, but you're dealing with someone that does such horrible things on such grand scales. But something like that, which I think would be overlooked quite often as a strategy, but my goodness, that's amazing that has that sort of an effect.
You know, and part of that grandiosity that appeals to many of them is, and you're seeing it with BTK, is the desire to show how awesome they are. Have them teach you. When you go in and let go and have, I'll tell you, this is greatly challenging for investigators to do, but when you can let go of your own ego and approach them the way that they want to be approached as a great teacher, mentor, and guide, they can tell you an awful lot about the about that crazy world that is going on inside of that broken brain of theirs. And it was a very useful tool in that case as well, and can be in the future.
How interesting. Do you think Rex, as we wrap on talking about him, could he have been profiled better or profiled really at all? I know he was on the police radar towards the end of this. Obviously, it led to his arrest, but we were talking a long span of time. He's someone who just really slipped under because he really did hide everything as very well as he did. Or were people looking more so the other way, not maybe digging into this as deeply as they should? Just basically by prioritization, you're talking about sex workers who may not have a lot of people out there looking for them or banging the drum saying, let's figure this out.
It's a tough question. I think when you look at his profile from the image he projected to the world, that's a pretty typical image. He did a good job of looking like an architect and living the lifestyle he was living. And he, much like BTK, took the people around him by complete shock, especially his wife and kids. But when you come to profiling, I didn't see a profile for the Long Island, the Gilgo Beach aspect, but I saw the one for the Jersey one. It was pretty spot on. It was really, if it's the same person, because the circumstances of the victims were very similar. That's why there's such an interesting comparison. That profile is pretty spot on. Now, the problem with the profile is there's a lot of people that fit that profile of someone who's very meticulous, very dot the I's and cross the T's. And people, especially if you're dealing with a higher intellect individual, like I think he is, given his training, his background, his education, you're dealing with someone that's very skilled at hiding secret place. And we've talked about this before too. Everyone has something they're ashamed of and does a decent job of hiding it. He knew what he was doing was wrong. And I think he had a lot of life skills and repetitions of hiding that secret place very effectively. So when a profile comes in that fits a large number of people that might work in New York City, it's hard to, how do you filter that from down from there?
This is an examination of the hidden human condition.
This is the Hidden Killers Podcast.
The Hidden Killers Podcast
with Tony Bruschi.